You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Talking about chicken a la king,
mango and garbanzo, tabbouleh,
real potatoes and vegetables with roasted garlic and basil,
zucchini ziti,
granola fruit bar. Yeah.
Look at all this beautiful food.
Hello, I'm Dan Adute. Welcome to Green Eggs and Dan. Like many of you, I'm stuck at home during this pandemic, and so are most of my guests.
Connecting to server, let me record here.
That leaves me with a crappy laptop from 2012, my own mic, and my fingers crossed, hoping my guests are able to record their half of the conversation too.
Okay. All right.
Bear with us.
Look at all this beautiful food.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Green Eggs and Dan. My guest today has become one of my favorite people, and we only met a couple years ago on the set of YouTube's Cobra Kai, where he brilliantly plays Daniel LaRusso's nephew, Louie. Brett Ernst is a national headlining comedian. His hilarious comedy special, Principal's Office, just hit over 2 million views. You can watch it for free at brettcomedy.com. He was featured on Comedy Central's This Is Not Happening, is the host of the Jersey Boys podcast and the Gentleman Show. And he first gained notoriety in the Vince Vaughn documentary, The Wild West Comedy Tour. Brett Ernst, welcome to Green Eggs and Dan.
Hello, Dan.
Hello, Brett.
First of all, it's Louis. I'm his cousin.
Cousin?
If you would have read the scripts, you would have known that I was.
All right, we'll fix that.
I'm his cousin, Louis. I'm not his nephew.
I thought that you're like I thought his uncle's kid.
Yeah. See, this is why.
Oh, his uncle's kid would make you a cousin. Yeah.
Yeah. This is why they're not bringing you back. Everything about you I don't like at first, and then it just grows on me.
Which we will get into in a second, because you and I spent a long time in Atlanta together and we ate a lot together, which I would love to get into. But first, I want to show everyone your fridge. Everyone, you can see Brett's fridge on my Instagram at StandUpDan. Your fridge. First of all, you are in quarantine with your mom, right?
Well, I stayed down here in Florida. There was no reason to go back. So I've been down here since. Ironically, my last gig was at the Miami Improv, and I stayed here with her when it first started. You were with your parents too, weren't you?
I was. I was with my parents for 2.5 months. I just got back to LA.
Yeah, so I just stayed here, man. So that's my mother's fridge.
You're being a good son. So your mom's fridge, no disrespect, but there's nothing in the crisper. Why is there nothing in the crispers? Completely empty.
I got to be honest with you, man. It's just been, I was raised by a single mother and everything's...
Oh, don't make this
depressing.
Wait,
let me finish.
Don't make this depressing.
Everything's day to day.
Okay.
In our house. So it's like, you know, my mother likes to cook with everything fresh. Like she goes to the store every day.
Right. Every day. That's cool. Well, I don't know how safe that is, though, during quarantine.
Nah, it's fine.
It's fine?
Well, that's why I was here. I did a lot of the shopping. But, like, what's mine is the apple cider vinegar.
By the way, I don't think it needs to be refrigerated, does it?
Once you open it, I just do it to keep it safe. I mean, you know, we're in South Florida, and it's, like, it's been raining a lot.
Right.
So there's a lot. You get ants sometimes. So you just...
Oh, got it.
We're used to keeping everything in the fridge. Like, you don't even need to put the peanut butter in the fridge.
Yeah. So I have a question about your peanut butter. You have Skippy natural peanut butter.
Yeah.
I thought this whole time, I always thought that you were over the age of 7.
Hey, listen, man. One of my favorite things on the planet is strawberry jelly and Skippy's natural peanut butter. Sandwiches. I'll eat like 3 or 4 of them and then drink a big old tall glass of milk.
Oh my God. You are a child. You eat like a child. Is this a breakfast thing or a snack thing?
It's like, it's a late night thing.
It's your late night. It's your late night crave. Yeah.
Like when I'm cheating on my diet, I have a cheat day. That's one of the things I like to do.
That's good. Do you cut the crust off?
My mom does it for me.
Oh my God.
No. I like the crust.
You like the crust. What were you gonna say? Sorry, I cut you off.
No, it's fine. I was gonna say that on the second shelf, the red thing, that's a little leftover pork that my mother makes.
Oh really?
Yeah.
What is it? Is your mom is Italian?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, got it. So I get it. Now that all makes sense why she would take her cooking a little more seriously. However, Mrs. Ernst, is that her last name?
Russo.
Miss Russo. Listen. Yeah. What's with the chopped up garlic, the pre-chopped garlic in jars?
That's mine again.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah. So what I do with that is I like to take a scoop of garlic sometimes with a little bit of natural honey and just and eat it.
Oh, one of those like hippie live longer things?
No, it's just good for you, man. It's the apple cider vinegar. I always do a shot on an empty stomach with a little fresh virgin olive oil.
Yeah.
And then
fresh virgin or extra virgin?
Which one? Extra virgin.
All right. Fresh virgin sounds like a Game of Thrones. Like, bring me the fresh
virgin. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Virgin.
I confused that. That's the person we sacrifice to the gods. I meant extra virgin.
All right. So the red pork is like a pork in a pork ragu. Is it a ragu? A Sunday ragu?
No, it's healthy. It's a pork, a little thinly sliced pork parmesan, pretty much.
And, oh, delicious.
Yeah, with a little fresh mozzarella, like a gentleman.
Like a gentleman.
But everything, there's the quick fix thing. I mean, I could tell you how I cook. Like, there's one ingredient here, which is my secret, which I'll share with everybody, which is on the condiment drawer.
Okay.
Mostly everything there is mine.
Right over here.
Yeah. All that stuff I buy. Now that's the fresh peppers right there.
This sweet pepper guy?
Yeah.
This guy?
Yeah. That's good. I like those on like a salad or something when we make salad.
Yeah.
Down here, there's some more garlic.
I see that.
Yeah, that right there, that's lemon juice, the Sicilian lemon juice. That is what I use to cut the apple cider vinegar before I go to bed. So, like, a lot of that stuff is just for quick, so I don't have to keep. But when we cook, it's a whole different ballgame.
Okay, got it. So for the quick fix health stuff, you're like, all right, just a little dash from the...
Yeah, this, because I'll do it 2-3 times a day, and it's just, you know, I'm lazy.
Okay, got it. And wait, so which one is your secret? These peppers?
No, you just touched it.
This guy?
Yeah.
Oh, Worcestershire sauce.
Yeah. It's a very key ingredient in about 3 of the dishes that I make that are really good.
I'll tell you why you like that. Okay, you're Italian. One of the main ingredients of Worcestershire sauce that people don't really know is anchovies. And anchovies play a huge role in a lot of Italian cooking.
When I make a puttanesca sauce, I use anchovies. You cut them really thin and they melt in when you're sautéing them.
Absolutely. That to me is the best kept secret of, because a lot of people, they think anchovies and they viscerally have a negative reaction, but they're probably my favorite little go-to secret weapon when I'm cooking.
Well, you're on the right track there. I use it and what I use it for.
What do you use it for?
All right. So my two main dishes I make that I've perfected is my shrimp scampi and my white clam sauce.
Okay.
So whenever you're cooking with fish, for some reason people use a little bit of salt, okay? Use Worcestershire sauce. You get the bite of the sodium, but it's a fish-based, so it's not salty. So you get that hit of the salt, but it's not salty, if that makes sense.
It's like an umami salty. It's got a savory feel to it. It's kind of like the Italian, let's say it's like the Italian version of soy sauce, because soy sauce is similar in that you get that salt, but you also get a lot of other fun stuff with it.
Well, this is, I mean, you know, I think it's white, like British that makes the Worcestershire sauce. I'm not sure.
It is. I think it was a British thing. But it does.
Put it in your fish, and you could taste it. It adds such a good flavor to it, but it's not overwhelming, and you get the salt effect.
I love it. Now, last thing before we get out of your fridge is over here inside your fridge. I'm circling what I think is a can of whipped cream.
Yeah, that I put in my protein shakes. A little bit of flavor. I told you most of that stuff is for when I train.
So you train with fucking a can of shitty whipped cream?
No, I put a little bit of that in when I make my shakes, my protein shakes. It adds a little flavor to it. Just a little bit of whoosh.
Wow.
And then when the can's over, I use the CO2 or whatever it's called, and I get really, really high.
Amazing.
Another key ingredient that I have, you could see it's next to the garlic down there.
Yes.
And then I have two jars stacked, but another key thing to use, you know, I put butter on my toast, but when I'm cooking, I use ghee. Really? Clarified butter, yeah.
Wow, I'm impressed.
So when you use ghee for your for any type, like when you're making your scampi, it's such a cleaner taste.
Interesting.
I mean, I could clarify my own butter, but it's a pain in the ass.
It is a pain in the ass. So this is actually a good little pivot because clarified butter is interesting. I didn't really know what it was for a little bit, but it's basically if you take your butter and you melt it, and then you put it in the freezer.
Well, you don't have to. What you do is after you melt it, you're right. There's a film that comes on top.
Yeah,
that's the milk deposits. The milk solids.
Yeah, yeah.
So you just scrape that off.
Yeah.
But on the bottom of the pan is like a little granules.
Yes.
So then you just take the butter and you pour it into another container without the you just don't want to get that silt looking stuff.
Yeah.
You probably know the technical terms.
No, I mean it's basically the same technique. If you melt it and then put it in the freezer, what happens is I think the solids will get way more solid, but the butter will stay liquidy, and then you can just kind of pour it out, or the clarified butter part.
And it comes from India, actually. A lot of the ghee is actually used in a lot of Indian cooking, but it's much healthier. That's the type of fat you want out of butter. You don't want the dairy fat.
Yeah. The best way to describe it is it's kind of like if you've had really good buttered popcorn, that's the butter that they put on top is like that clarified butter. Cause it's
also
the milk in it.
If you go get seafood, like what you put lobster in when they give you the lobster tail and you dip that in that. That's clarified butter, and I use that's one of my favorite toppings, man. Like when I make my steak, I use that.
You use clarified butter.
Yeah.
So let's talk about our history with food, because we have what began as a contentious food relationship and then blossomed into you've become one of my favorite people to go out and eat with.
Let's just say we both give off a first impression that it really isn't us, and yours is just this douchey, smug, jerk off guy. Hence the mustache. And then, right. You know, you're like, I'm going to take you to the best place. And you know, I'm not a fan of people that because let's be honest, most people that try and externally express themselves, there's not a layer of depth to them. There's nothing worse than a person that's not creative and thinks they're an artist, right?
Okay, that's the end of the show. Brett, thanks so much for coming on.
Off as that smug dickhead guy, and you're not. I mean, you are, but you're not.
let's a little context here. Brett and I are on the show Cobra Kai. So we were living together. We were living in a hotel, separate rooms, but together.
But I had a suite. You had a regular room, but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, I started off as a, because I think, I don't even know if I can talk about this. I'll ask you guys later.
No, it's a joke.
No, it's fine. But we, the thing that happened was we didn't know each other. I knew of you. I knew your name, you know, in the comedy world, but I never met you. We had a lot of mutual friends, but we were like, okay, I guess we're going to be friends now. So we started exploring. I love the Atlanta food scene. It's a very fun food scene. There's a lot of interesting, cool, kind of hip Southern restaurants, which I wanted to explore. So I was like, all right, let's go to these restaurants. And how can I put this? You are like a real, you're a very simple person, like almost like one rung away from special person. you have very simple tastes. You don't thirst for adventure in food.
It's not that, Dan. I'm not into bells and whistles, man.
Yes. You're not
into bells and whistles. Look, the key to cooking Italian food is its simplicity. You understand? That's the key to any good food, is the simplicity of it. When you're overcomplicating, it's like overcomplicating a joke. Right. You're overselling it.
Yeah.
If you have a cereal restaurant, I've seen a restaurant, one of those asshole that they serve like all different types of cereal. Who the fuck likes cereal that much? You know, there's always a hook. Just make if it's good, it's good. So go ahead, smart ass, simple. Simplicity is genius, Dan.
That is very true, but it also depends on the quality of the ingredients. Okay, simple.
That's everything too. That's why you don't see it. All of our shit's fresh when we cook.
Yeah, you have a fucking can of whipped cream in your fucking fridge.
I'm also drinking Bang energy drinks.
You're drinking Bang energy drinks, and you're talking to me like you're fucking Lydia Bastianich, the grand dame of Italian cuisine. Like,
no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying is that I put that in my protein shakes.
Who puts fucking whipped cream in their protein shake?
I do. It has a nice little flavor to it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Anyway, we went to like this like hipster like beer garden-y restaurant in like the like hip gay neighborhood in Atlanta. And we're sitting down there and the menu comes and Brett's like, I don't even know what these fucking what the fuck is a quinoa cake? What the fuck is
there was items on there. It's like, this is served with the something truffle over this, and our beef is sauteed and soaked in this. And just say, you know, first of all, it's a very arrogant thing to do. Okay. Nobody gives a fuck. No, when you go to a good restaurant, they don't describe every ingredient. It's pretentious. Am I right or wrong? It's pretentious.
To an extent, you are right. But for someone who has a higher understanding, it's kind of nice to know, oh, what are the greens that I'm being served? Is it a little gem? Is it an arugula? What is going to come in here? Who was the farmer? Who farmed the arugula? Was he a nice guy?
Did he have a mustache? Did he ride a bike and wear a scarf?
But the joke was on me at that restaurant because...
Well, the joke was on both of us.
What do you mean? I remember that I was the one who... I left with my tail between my legs.
Yeah, but at the same time, the food was phenomenal.
The food was... Oh, that's right. Okay, yes, that's right. So the joke was on me in that the waitress ended up loving Brett and hating me. Like, I was asking annoying questions like, I don't prefer beers that have too much hoppiness. Like, I like a balanced beer with enough hops to a ratio of wheat. And she's like, what fucking beer do you want, dude? And then Brett was like, I like Guinness. Do you have Guinness? And she's like, no. And you're like, Guinness.
I have the Guinness.
Closest thing you got the Guinness. And she's like, all right, cool. I get that. So she loved you and hated me. But then the food, I feel like before the food came, you were like, this is going to be some pretentious hipster bullshit. And it was, and it was still delicious.
It was outstanding, man. But, you know, the one thing I take credit for is I'm okay with being wrong. But, you know, I just don't like I said, I don't like the bells and whistles. I just wish that, you know, they just said, look, in Dubai, I've traveled a lot of places and ate at some pretty cool places. All they say was this. I remember we went out and I couldn't even describe what was in the dish. Right. Because they said, do you want this? And I said, what is it? I'm just going to let you try it. That's what they said. Let me let you try it. And if you like it, I'll give you more. And you're like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
They eat it. You enjoy it. You say, what is this? Not what we have are carefully selected cheese curds that were, just give me the food. You're overselling it.
I'm with you 100%.
The burger was phenomenal, man. The way it was prepared was phenomenal.
No, I'm with you. And frankly, I think I was the pretentious one at the dinner, not even the staff there, because it's annoying when the staff is pretentious. When the staff is pretentious, it's really, really annoying. When they're like, you're not cool enough to be here, that's annoying. And I felt like the staff there, they were, I'm going to find out the name of the place and post it, but I feel like they were more excited that you were trying new things and that you were open to it, which you were.
Well, I do feel, you know, it is, when people get to play the teacher role, they become a little bit more endearing than when they're being talked to. But again, your personality, it comes off, you're not pretentious. It's just the way you, it's like, I'm not really angry. I just stutter and I have to talk very aggressive and my eyebrows weigh about 8,000 pounds. So, you know, you come off a certain way, but you're really not. And like for you, you know, you come off this way when you're not. It's just your aura. I don't know what it is, but it ends up being likable. Like that stupid fucking mustache you have.
By the way, that's going to be the new tagline for this show. Dan and Dude, he ends up being likable.
Yeah, but that mustache is beyond like
this mustache is ridiculous. For those of you who aren't watching the podcast, because I think I'm going to post this video, but I have a handlebar, a cartoonish like bank robber from the 1800s
you look like fucking Millard Fillmore or whatever his name was. Dude, you should call the chops to connect it, please. That would be tremendous.
There's nothing better than a podcast that just talks about things that you guys can't see, but I look great. Okay.
Oh, I thought they could watch this. Can they watch it?
Well, hopefully. I think I'm going to post these. Yeah. So hopefully you guys are watching this as well. But
I was confused that you showed my refrigerator and I thought that's the people could watch this.
No, people are hopefully going to watch this. I will post a picture of my mustache alongside the picture of, Brett's fridge. So we actually ended up having a system though in Atlanta where I would choose a restaurant. And then the next time you would choose a restaurant. And the next restaurant we went to was an amazing old school Italian steakhouse joint.
Yeah.
Which is probably one of my favorite types of restaurants are old school Italian. Like whether it's old school Italian steakhouse, whether it's old school Italian, just like a red sauce place. Like they're so fun. You sit down, you drink, you order your cold martini, and you just feel like, I don't know, you feel like a character. I don't know, it brings out, I feel like way more machismo in places like that. I feel like I want to get louder in a place like that. Like the camaraderie is more fun. There's something about it. I don't know. It harkens to like an old school thing.
I do a show out of Vegas and I get to interview a lot of like chefs and stuff. And it's actually a gambling show, but it's disguised. It's a men's lifestyle. It's a gambling show disguised as a men's lifestyle show.
Right.
But, you know, how to properly cook a steak. And again, man, the masculine palate is a lot different than a feminine palate.
I'm going to get canceled. I'm getting canceled now.
No, it is. Women have more taste buds and you know, they say, but women tend to go towards sweeter things. You know, it's a difference. And that's why a lot of masculine palates like smoky flavors, cigars. Right. And again, it's a generalization. It's not an absolute. So keep everybody relax. This is culinary fact.
Agreed. I also want to make clear that these thoughts are Brett's and Brett's alone. I am for them.
Whatever. Anyways, so again, men are very simple. We're simple in the way we dress. There's not a lot of complications in the experience, right?
Right.
And that's something that we just, the less hassle, we're there. You know what I mean? The less bells and whistles, we're there. I can't, and I'm not saying that you're, it just bothers me. It just bothers me. So when you go to a steakhouse, like good Italian food, it, like I said, is not only the simplicity. That's where the ingredients count, by the way. So,
saying? That's the thing. If the more simple you make it, then you can't disguise anything. You better have the best ingredients there.
Right. Like it's like, if you go to a restaurant, you better not order a steak well done, because they're going to give you an old piece of meat. It defeats the purpose of the steak and the cut of the meat.
Right.
But anyways, talking to a lot of these chefs, they discuss the male palate versus the female palate. So, you know, there's certain foods that we gravitate towards. Like cooking a steak, it's simple. Again, there's salt, pepper. You know, it's nothing complicated. 45 seconds on the grill this way, flip it this way, then stick it in the oven for 8 minutes and yeah. You're done. Let it sit. That's it. So, learning from these chefs and a lot of these places. So the Italian, what makes the Italian steakhouse the experience is it's a lot of low hassle. What do you want? And it's cooked just perfect. Everything's cooked perfect. It's cooked with easy ingredients you can pronounce. And it's just, you know, that's what makes that experience. You get a nice scotch, you know. They go good together.
I think I also like Italian steakhouses because I feel like their sides are a little lighter than what you get in like an American steakhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. You'll still have some sort of potato dish and stuff like that, but they'll have a lot more like just really, I mean, it's in the best possible way, like greasy vegetable stuff, like vegetal sides that have a lot of just powerful flavors like garlic and oil. And just to me, it's like the steak usually is so heavy that if I have too many heavy sides, I can hardly get through it.
The bread too, man, up front. You can always judge a great steakhouse by the bread they serve you up front. That's been my experiences. I mean, one of my favorites is the Mastro's in, believe it or not, in Thousand Oaks.
Interesting. Yeah. So Mastro's is a very popular steakhouse in the LA area. They have one in Vegas too, I think, right?
Yeah. It became, you know, there's a bunch, man.
Yeah. Seven
of them, but the one in Thousand Oaks, it's a smaller oven and a smaller turnaround. So, you know, it's funny too, man. The pan, a lot of people don't know this, but when you go to a steakhouse, a lot of the searing pans that they use, they haven't cleaned in those cast iron pans. You're not supposed to wash those.
Right. You're just supposed to kind of wipe them down.
So the one at Peter Luger's, I think, is like 60 years old.
Yeah, which is gross to a lot of people, but it's like, that's why it tastes different. Uh-huh. That's why a steakhouse, that's part of the reason a steakhouse steak tastes so great. One is, of course, the meat is aged, but two is, yeah, there's a properly seasoned pan will make or break.
And I'll tell you, man, not to switch gears, talk about simplicity. One of the best meals I ever had, I was living in North Carolina and I went to a pig picking where they roast a pig in an oil drum.
Oh, like a whole pig.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
awesome.
This is real Southern cooking, man. And you know, that's the thing too, man. You can't duplicate, like what makes Italian food so good is the passion that goes into it. But it's a love. It's like, it's just something that, you know, in half of my culture, I should say, is I was raised 100%. But in that culture, food is everything.
Yeah.
My mom cooks. She wants to cook. There's like love in it. I can't. It's just a lot. Like they take it very seriously.
I've always thought like the French love food. Italians are obsessed with food. It's a very different type of thing. I remember I was actually in Paris And I was eating at an Italian, at a pizza place in Paris that actually that Josh Heald, our mutual friend, told me to go to. And it was very authentic Italian pizza. And the guy was like, one of the waiters was like, he was Italian. And I was like, so what do you think about the pizza here? He's like, it's good. It's good. I'm like, what's wrong with it? He's like, I don't eat it anymore. I'm like, why don't you eat it? He's like, it's not the right mozzarella. And I asked my mom to fly in mozzarella. And when it comes, then I have the chef make it and then I'll eat the pizza. Like, he wouldn't eat if it didn't have the right mozzarella. He would, like, Italians have this such an obsession with ingredients where this guy is literally just like, I won't eat it if it doesn't have the right mozzarella and my mom doesn't ship it in.
No, well, you know, there is the Italian American experience versus the experience in Italy.
Yeah.
Obviously. One of my favorite quotes, I brought this up. Well, first of all, to understand the Italian cuisine, most of it was peasant food. So a lot of Italian American food, like there's a dish called gabbazzale, which is like a sheep's head, right? Yeah. And the old school Guineas loved it, man. You know, the mustache Pete guys, like, you know, what you're wearing, but a little thinner.
Right.
They would bring this head to the table and, you know, you see the fucking head, babies are crying, but, you know, kids are screaming and they're eating the cheekbones and the eyes and the gums off the teeth. But in New York, it was a very hard delicacy to get, you know, like sofrita is like, it's Italian chitlins. It's right. And by the way, Southern cooking and Italian American cooking are very similar because we eat the shitty parts of the pig, from the knuckles to the intestines, like tripe. I don't know if you've ever had tripe.
I love that's, tripe.
That stomach lining.
Actually, so the funny thing is, I'm sorry to cut you off. I'll get back to you in a second.
You're gonna have to. I'll keep going. So
no. Yeah. But tripe, I don't love tripe. However, the only tripe that I think is very, very good that I'll order if it's on the menu is Italian tripe alla parmigiana, which is basically, it's like a tripe cooked in like a red sauce with Parmesan cheese, which to me, I don't know, like, cause like, I feel like tripe in Asian cuisine, like they don't fuck with it too much. They just kind of like grill it and just throw it on. And it's like very, very raw. Italians like really know how to finesse it. And
Mexicans do a good job with it too. And menudo.
Too funky for me.
It's good to drink and eat if you're trying to sober up.
Yeah, I know, but it's like it's too funky and like organy for me. The Italian one though is mellow and delicious, and it's like a fun texture.
When it cooks though, Dan, I don't know if you ever smelled it cook. Oh, it smells like piss because it's that you boil it first to clean it out. And
yeah, exactly.
It's just awful.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is a lot of cultures don't do that part of it, and it just comes out a little gross.
But again, the idea behind it, so, you know, you took whatever good parts of the pig that the rich people took, they threw it to the peasants and they just made a meal out of it.
Right.
So that's why the bells and whistles shit is fake. Like once something was considered shit food, now they're like, and now you, it's like, no, dude, like my grandmother knew exactly. My grandma used to have the fucking eels swimming in the tub to eat, you know, the seven fishes that you do on Christmas Eve.
No way.
When she was younger. Yeah. They would chop the thing off. My mom would tell me they chopped the chicken off, like the pet, you know, cause it's peasant shit, man.
Yeah.
Chickens in the yard. Go ahead.
It's interesting because here's what happened though when Italians came to America, because I feel like the poorest Italians that were living in Italy were the ones that came to America, right?
Pretty much, so yeah.
They really had nothing.
And the guys that were fleeing the government, yeah.
Right. So they really had nothing. And then they came here and they started becoming something of themselves. They started making money and they could suddenly afford meat, which they couldn't really afford back in Italy. So I think that's one of the reasons why in American Italian cuisine, you get things like fucking big ass meatballs. Your meat to starch ratio in Italian American cuisine is way higher than what you get in Italy. And if you go to Italy, you're still not getting that much meat on the menus. But if
that's true, dude. My mom would tell me, like, you know, my grandmother came from a family of 11, I think, or 10. And then, they would, that, you know, you have to cook for fucking 14 kids with no money. So there's a lot of starch. It's the same reason why the Irish eat potatoes.
Exactly. You got to fill it up with starch so you don't die.
And that's my analogy with the cooking. Okay. Now I'm going to tell me if you get this analogy. Okay.
Bring it back. Let's go. Okay.
Did you ever see Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves?
Yes.
Okay. Remember when he says, I would rather have one man defending his home than 10 trained soldiers?
Yes.
Okay. Italians cook like they're defending their home.
Explain.
All right. It's like everything depends on this meal. So I can't explain it. And it's time, like your grandmother cooks, any of them, it's like, I am about to feed you and you're going to sit here. And especially like if you have a guest over, there's nothing more awkward than somebody who's about to eat something and everybody's staring at them to see how they like it.
It's true. Yeah. Italian.
And then you're hearing these stories of other meals while you're eating a meal.
It's true. Italians cook like every meal is like the final dish on MasterChef that they have to make to win the competition.
And they'll do it in 5 minutes. They'll just throw shit together. Right.
So
and it's just there. Oh, if you're going to, here's a little bit of, if you're going to get canned tomatoes. Okay. There's two that I love. Pastene, Pastene, kitchen ready tomatoes. Okay. And the other one is 6-in-1, it's called. You can get them at any good Italian market. Don't ask me what type of tomatoes they are. I just know that that those two gravies are phenomenal. If you're going to use
hot tips. Brett's hot tips, everyone. It's probably, I imagine it's a San Marzano tomato.
Possibly. Oh. Probably. I mean, one is from California, and I know that they use a lot of those seeds. Even their wine came from Italy because the climate is very similar to Italy. It's it's an arid climate in California, but a lot of the seeds that they brought over, they use for the wine and the grapes and even the tomato.
Yeah, but the tomato stuff, man, there's something about Italian tomatoes. I don't know if it's the fucking volcanic ash of Mount Etna or like the soil is just fertilized with like dead Roman centurions from back in the day. It's got a flavor and a sweetness to it that's very, very hard to reproduce.
But I do differentiate between the Italian American cuisine versus cuisine from Italy. Everything in Italian American's red.
Yeah.
Red. And the tomato pie, like you go to even, you know what I would love to do with you, bro? All right.
What's that?
I would love to take you down to South Philly for their Italian food festival.
Ooh, that would be fun. I had a crazy Italian, it was like a pork sandwich with a broccoli rabe in Philly that I had to like wait online for.
Was it at John's?
It was like in a real shitty neighborhood.
Well, South Philly's, I mean, you know, there's a lot of hipsters there now, but like the good news is a lot of guys are getting out of jail now. So the neighborhoods are starting to get back to like the way they used to be.
Oh yeah. Thank God. Now all the convicts are back. That's what we needed.
A lot of those guys were good guys, man.
Okay.
No, right, but I'm saying the food, the food is starting to get, look, I will say that South Philly, the food, there's still a sense of that community there.
Yeah.
And between the pork store and my dearest friend owns Iannelli's, which is right on Passyunk. But what I was going to say, there's differences there too. Like what they do down there is called, it's a crab gravy. So it's blue crab that you made with like a tomato sauce over pasta. Unbelievable.
Wow. I've never heard of that.
And they also do tomato pies, which is basically a pizza. But with not a lot of cheese, no cheese. It's like a tomato base over the bread,
right?
With cheese sprinkled on it a little.
Yeah.
Another good place for that is Iannelli's. Makes it great. Now, what's great about this place, Dan, is that it's been over there 100 years. But this kid Vinny opens up when he wants to open up, and he just tells people, "I'm open." And there's a line around the block, and it's funny because people will yelp like. Like people will try like the little hipster foodies that live in the area now.
Yeah.
They'll go there and they'll be like, you know, I really wish they had proper hours. They're never open. And he would answer their yelps. He would go, well, guess what? Now you're never getting anything. Don't ever step foot in my store again. Oh, that's so good. He could give two shits, man.
I love it.
And his cousin owns the pork store, and then they own a water ice store, and they've just been in that area forever, man.
I love it. The pork store. That's such an Italian thing, the pork store.
Oh, dude, the slow roasted pork is just, God, I can't wait. Because they do the festival with the grease pole, everything.
Yeah.
It's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah,
I want to take you there, man.
I'm so down. You don't even know.
I'm telling you, you'll lose your mind.
We'll do this a remote episode.
For us one time, okay, I was performing at the Punchline in Fishtown over in Philly. And so me and another comedian, we were going over there. He's like, come over. I'm going to make you, come over. We'll eat. This is what he made. He made filet mignon calzones. He made two tomato pies, chicken cutlets, about 50 steamed clams, made the crab gravy. Then he made a regular tomato gravy because one of the comics eats like a fucking 12-year-old. And it was just the three of us.
Wow.
It was unbelievable.
I love it. Yeah, Italian.
I'll have you open for me when we go.
Dude, just let me be your road manager, please. Okay, I'm going to get to these questions now that I ask every guest towards the end of the show. And we're just going to go through them. Number one is, what is your earliest food memory?
My earliest food memory, I have two actually that stick out. When I was a little baby, my mom would make hard-boiled eggs and mash them with a little butter and salt and pepper.
Okay.
That I just loved. I mean, like if she did it for me now, I would run outside to get it.
I love it.
And there's this family recipe that has my grandparents brought from Sicily. That is, it's again, it's basic. It's simple. It's called chicken spuzzatelle, but it's just chicken and with green olives over a pasta. And it costs like $3 to make.
Love it.
And I just, to this day, my mother makes it for me and my brothers when we come down.
I love it. I love it. I feel like the Italian guests that I've had on have such distinct food memories like that. Like everyone else is like, I'm not sure. I ate a piece of fish when I was a kid and I hated it. But Italians are like, I remember my grandmother.
Well, you know what it is too? What I loved was sleeping and you smell them cooking, man. Like the house, my Aunt Terry's house, she made her own pasta. She made, everything was fresh made. Like my mom made sausage and peppers yesterday, just on a whim. And the whole house just smells amazing. Everything smells like food.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, I love it. I used to love sleeping and like, you know, and you smell everybody cooking and you know when you wake up.
It's like that Folgers commercial, but with Italian, but with pork instead of coffee.
You smelling fucking tripe.
What is your death row meal?
Absolutely 200% chicken spuzzatelle. My mother's chicken spuzzatelle. I don't even know if that's a real dish. I just know that it's been in my family, my you know. That's yeah. Absolutely. I mean, what do I get? That's the other thing. Can I get, because I would eat the, how many courses?
It's a very liberal jail. It's run by all the officers are Michelin starred chefs. You can get whatever you want.
Okay. So here's what we'll do. We're definitely doing a chicken spuzzatelle, right? My mother's making it because that's a fond food that I want to remember when I close my eyes.
Right.
And then I would also do a white clam sauce.
Nice.
And then, maybe a nice rack of ribs, man, you know, and then for dessert, apple pie and ice cream. I love that, man.
You're going to fucking die of a heart attack before they give you the electric chair.
And that's it.
What is the best high end meal that you've ever had?
Again, man, it ruins it for me. Now, you know what's funny? The first thing I could answer right away, this, I grew up with, everybody can cook. It's like, I go to a restaurant, I'm usually disappointed.
Okay, so what is there a worst high-end meal you've ever had? Like, you just fucking spent so much money.
I don't want to get into details, but I was working on a project where they invited the cast, and this guy was like, I was able to eat like this $200 Kobe beef burger.
Okay.
And it was really, it was good, but it was like, dude, really? Like,
you know, just, for a burger.
It was, I don't know, man. It was the way they made it. I'll tell you what I liked that I never had was the foie gras.
Foie gras, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good, man. I that was really good.
Yeah, foie gras is awesome.
You stuttering, heck yeah? I started stuttering. I couldn't say it.
Foie gras is fantastic. And it's like, that is the opposite of Italian food because that's just like rich people food.
Is it really? That's like, I heard it's terrible. Like they choke the goose or whatever.
No, they choke them out. No, they force feed the goose so that its liver develops like a little disease that makes it really fatty.
Mm, that's terrible.
It's pretty fucked up, but it's delicious. What is the best low end meal that you've ever had?
Oh, not counting what I eat at the house.
Not counting what you eat at the house. Like, let's say like some sort of street taco or whatever, or you know, maybe.
Ooh, I've had plenty of those, man.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite, man. When you go to like, when I'm traveling on the road, that's what I do, man. I'm like a low end foodie.
You know, I'm with you actually. When I'm on the road and there's nothing else, there's usually a Mexican joint. And the quality of the Mexican food would be way better than like a Chili's or a fucking, you know.
Well, I usually do something if I'm working with a local, right? And I'll be like, listen, take me to the best spot, like for chicken wings, what are they called? The Lucy Juicy's up in Minnesota, Minneapolis.
Uh-huh.
Take me to the spot that you guys are known for. Like, you know, I'm buying. Just let's go. And they're like, dude, I got the place.
I love it.
And then you go and then, you know, like pizza in Brooklyn. I love Spumoni Gardens, L&B's. The squares are fucking unbelievable.
Yeah.
I would have to say L&B's, man. Because when I go, I remember me and my wife were in Manhattan and she wanted to, I was there working. And I said to her, I said, listen, I'm going to take you to your place and you're going to my place. And her place, we went to Beauty in Essex, I think it's called, where like,
yeah,
like the front, it was great, you know,
but
it was a lot of bells and whistles. It was
too
like,
many bells and whistles. It's annoying.
Yeah. Then the next night I took her to L&B's and we had, I love mussels, man.
Mm.
Mussels marinara. And we got the pie and it was unbelievable.
I love it.
You know, we do Christmas Eve, dude. I'll send you photos of one Christmas Eve dinner between, we do the fish. We do a fish salad. We start with the galamad, the shrimp, the scallops. It's all in like a tossed salad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then the next course is a pasta course. We have a puttanesca. I'm sorry. We do the clams in white and red.
Yeah.
Then we have a white and red clam sauce over pasta, and we do a puttanesca. Then we do eggplant.
Pasta of the horse.
Then we do eggplant stacks.
Did you know that's what puttanesca is?
What?
Pasta for the whores?
Oh, for a whore. A boutin. Yeah.
Puttanesca. It's got a lot of good starch to keep the whore
fish.
Energized.
We don't do the bacala, though.
There's
no need for that.
Oh, okay.
The bacala, I don't know if you ever had it.
I love salt cod.
You do?
Oh, I can't get enough of it.
But you got to soak it. It's like a process.
It's annoying. It takes.
And
like
the reason why it was like that is because, you know, people didn't have refrigeration back then.
Yeah, yeah.
No, like your gefilte fish, isn't it?
What do you mean your gefilte fish? What the fuck is that supposed to mean?
The juice, you guys, what you guys make.
Let me tell you something. We're not a fucking monolith, all right? I my family's from Iran. There was no fucking gefilte fish in Iran.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. It's a very good thing that we didn't have gefilte fish in Iran.
But all jokes aside, isn't it the same as bacala? Isn't like
gefilte fish is more like pickled, I think. It's like they would chop up all the fish and then put it in some sort of fucking weird formaldehyde pickling gel. It's
dude, my aunt makes these lagostinos in like garlic butter.
Yeah.
Like the little lobsters that are unbelievable. And then the desserts come after that.
I love it.
Or the Farah's in Brooklyn, they have the cookies flown in. And then we
I want to come for Christmas.
No.
You can dress me up like Judas. I'll be in the corner.
No Jews. We don't allow Jews.
Now, you're not a drinker. I know that. So the next question was going to be, what's your favorite drunk food? But I don't know. I mean, you don't really drink much.
But you know, I like burgers, dude. I'm a sucker for
a burger.
I love burgers, man.
Do you have a favorite burger?
There's a place, I mean, it depends on where I'm at. Like, my favorite burger of all time is a place called Char Hut, but you know, it's in South Florida. So when I was in high school, I used to go there, and it's just, they grill it right in front of you. They have this sweet relish that they put on it.
Yeah.
Five Guys has got a great burger if it's open. Yeah. Of course, In-N-Out, I know people are biased, but the greatest fast food burger in the world to me is in Ohio, and it's at Swenson's? It's LeBron's favorite burger too. Yeah, you pull up.
Really?
Yeah, they're like these little burgers, but they have the galley boy, and they have a regular one. And I personally get like three of them. They serve you in your car.
Yeah.
No, it's fucking great,
man. I love it. Swenson's burgers.
Swenson's.
So I'm guessing you don't have a favorite hangover food, or do you?
Burgers.
Although you were saying that the menudo was a good hangover cure.
Well, are you talking about like the foods that I eat when I do drink, like White Castles?
When you're hungover. You're hungover the next day. You feel like shit. You want to feel better.
Oh, peanut butter and jelly is good for me.
Really?
Yeah. I love it. Like you said, I'm three.
Yeah, seriously. Do you have a favorite celebrity chef or food personality besides Danadute? Like,
I wouldn't know any. I don't know any.
I mean, you must know someone, you know, or like, you know, these chefs that you've interviewed on your show, or anyone on TV, like an Anthony Bourdain or like Gordon Ramsay or any of these guys.
I honestly don't watch that.
You know what? You're such a fucking contrarian.
What do you want me to? I'll make it up.
Make it up.
Bossy.
Emeril Lagasse. Yeah, it's a fucking dumb one. So you're trapped on a desert island. There's one thing that you have to eat for the rest of your life, and you are not going to get tired of it.
Pizza.
Pizza.
Do I gain weight?
Well, who cares? You're on a desert island. No one's going to save you. You're going to be a fat fuck on a desert island eating pizza.
I can eat pizza all day, man.
Well, here's the next question. Is there a food that you can't stand eating? Is there something that you just fucking hate?
You're gonna laugh, bro. My mom, my grandfather said I eat a gula de shek. I eat everything.
That's there's one thing.
I would probably say liver.
Liver, okay.
If it's, you know, if it's more sautéed, I mean, I like it fried.
Yeah.
I also eat chicken gizzards. I don't know if you ever had those deep fried with hot sauce on it. That's unbelievable.
They're good. They're chewy as fuck.
I'll tell you what meal I'm not a big fan of is Alfredo.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It never ends. Like there's always, every time you think you're done, there's more in there. And it's just like certain Alfredos don't do it for me, man. And I'm not a big wine guy. I don't drink wine.
You know, it's funny. I associate Alfredo with my childhood because like we used to go to this Italian restaurant and they had it. And I fucking loved it so much. And it's like kind of cheating though. It's like, let's take 75 cheeses and just melt them down and, you know, but it is very dense and it's a little much.
It's not like I dislike it. it's not like everybody likes it. I'm not a big fan of it.
Yeah, I get that. I'm okay.
And the wine, like I said, people always like, I hate that, man.
How do you not like wine?
It tastes like pennies to me, man. I don't think I have a palate for it. Like I could
drink like pennies. Oh, interesting. You know what that is? You've probably had wine that's way too tannic. So tannins basically give it that kind of, in the extreme, it feels like there's like cotton on your tongue and it adds like a tinny flavor to it. So maybe you just maybe next time we go out, I'm going to get you a wine that's very low on tannins and more fruit forward. And I think you'll like it.
The only one that I had that I like, it's a Bordeaux something.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think
it's like a mix of wines. It's like a bunch of reds. Is it a Bordeaux?
Yeah. Bordeaux is a mix. Or does
something
it blend?
Like that.
I think you, here's the problem. Italian wines, a lot of Italian wines are kind of sharp, especially on the fruit, like a Chianti or something. So I don't think that's your type. I think you need something that has a lot of oak, a lot of wood flavor. You like those woody flavors like scotch and stuff like that.
Yeah, smoky dude, it. I love Basil Hayden. I love scotch, man.
I got you.
I think it could be too, is my mom, when we were younger, she had, you know, which is, this is a very Italian thing to do, but she had the priests over and the nuns and she made dinner.
Yeah.
And they were drinking wine. And we grew up, I grew up with those two shitty jugs on the table with the guy's face on it.
Yeah, the shitty Chianti.
And I just fucking, I was like five and I just got into the wine and just threw up all over the driveway. And I don't think,
oh,
I don't think I can go near it. Maybe that's got something to do with it.
You threw up the blood of Christ in front of the priest and the nun.
Well, no, that was the sacrificial Jew that we drained in the basement.
That's what the red stuff is in the fridge.
That's okay. What the red stuff is. Yeah. Don't confuse it.
Okay, now my favorite question, which I feel like you are going to have a lot of opinions on. What is your restaurant pet peeve?
Wow, man. I mean, because I was a server too.
Oh, so you got
You know, it's funny, man. I mean, sometimes pretentious is good when it's genuine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like alt comedy. Alt comedy's great when it's what the alt comic is.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's when people are trying to be that, it makes it worse. Like, I would rather have somebody just, you know, I hate the pretentiousness. I hate fake pretentiousness.
Yeah.
Because true pretentiousness isn't smug. It's more like, look, this is what I like, and this is what's good. Don't do this, because this has, like, what you just described about the wine.
Yeah.
And it helps that I know you, but, like, that's not pretentious. That's actually coming, if it's coming from a good place, you know what I mean? Then it's, but I hate the pretentiousness of a meal. I just
you don't know? Like that.
Well, when they're like, you know, and then the people at the table are like, but you know, that bothers me when the waiter is smug.
Yeah. I'm with you. That's a good one.
You know what it is though? And you know, look, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I feel
that's very clear. That I think that's coming across. I think my audience gets that.
I hope they realize that. But nerds, the problem with nerds, everybody gives nerds a pass, you know, but they're some of the biggest fucking condescending bullies on the planet when it comes to, like, they think because they're smart that they should be able to shit on people that don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
So I'm a nerd's worst nightmare in a sense, because I see through the bullshit, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But there are some people that, like, especially women
these ideas are Brett's and Brett's alone. Go on.
That have voiced to me that, like, they keep more quiet because of manners.
Right.
But it's almost like they talk down to everybody. But everybody, it's like, dude, it's not that. It's like, you ever see a person do a joke that they think is so brilliant because they use a random reference that, like,
that no one gets.
It's like, dude, not. But yeah, that's, maybe it's an insecurity of mine. I don't know.
No, I'm with you, dude. It's kind of like, it's kind of the food equivalent of tech support guys. Like, tech support guys are like,
you don't know
what to fucking do. And you're like, dude, yeah, you're better than me at this. Don't be a dick about it. Like, I don't know. So fuck you. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm paying you to fucking guide me through this. Don't be a dick about it.
The blue collar equivalent is the mechanic that, like, talks to you like, dude, listen, man, I write dick jokes. I don't know what the fuck this means.
I don't know what fuel injection is.
Help me here, pal. I mean, stop. There's things I know that you don't know.
Yeah.
But to me, a meal is a time for people to laugh and have fun. I believe it or not, I hate people with really good manners. That are like, you know, and it's just, to that, it's like, I don't know. I think it's more, people should be having fun at dinner and talking and laughing, and it should be 2-3 hours.
100%.
You know what I mean? And it's just a good way to bond. So I don't know if that counts, but, like, sometimes etiquette bothers me.
I'm with you. I get that.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Especially when people are holding it over you. Like, you're supposed to do it. Like, it's like, fuck you. I'll use whatever spoon I want to use.
Yeah. Or, you know, I don't know. That's why my wife hates me, kicks me under the table.
So our last question, what is the first restaurant?
How many last questions do you have?
Last five. Our last question is, what is the first restaurant that you are going to visit after quarantine? If after quarantine, what's the first place you would love to go to eat?
Well, I already went.
Oh, yeah, you're in Florida. Shit's open.
Yeah, shit's open, man. Yeah.
Well, what was the first place you went to?
It's La Spalda's. It's a sub place that I love, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, they use all the fresh cuts and it's what I love about it too is they have these sweet peppers that they put on the sandwich.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing better than a nice oil and vinegar dressing on Absolutely. A sandwich. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been there like three times already.
It's worth risking your life for.
Well, yeah, man, of course. I had this shit in January, dude. I had this shit in January.
Oh, you had Corona?
I'm 100% positive.
Really?
Yeah, man. I performed. I shot my new hour at the Jimmy Kimmel Club with 100-degree temperature.
Wow.
Four shows. I couldn't. I went out like a soldier, dog. I was still drinking. You know, I was still gambling, and I drank on the last night to celebrate.
All right. So if you're looking for who Patient Zero is, this so guy had rooms full of thousands, hundreds of people. He's like yelling at them.
I didn't know. I caught it from somebody on the plane.
Getting his saliva particles on them and then playing cards and giving cards to everyone.
Yeah, I know.
Patient Zero.
I'm coughing like this. And the funny thing is, I made a joke. I'm like, I probably got that Corona shit. But I want to get tested for the antibodies. But I did get tested. I'm clean. They put the swab up my nose.
Yeah. I need to get that on Wednesday, actually.
I don't, that nasty mustache might get in the way. Yeah. Did you just do that for fun? Cause you just grew in a beard and you were like, I wonder what it looks like.
Brett Ernst, thank you so much for joining.
Can I talk here. About my Bloody Mary mix, by the way, that I'm.
Oh doing? Yes. Tell Brett has a Bloody Mary mix, that I want to try it. You got
to
send it. Well,
if you guys want to buy it, just go to Manny's. Manny's UBM. U as in ultimate, B as in bloody, M as in Mary.com. And put in my name, Brett, Brett, and try it out, man. You get 20% off.
So am I getting it for free?
You're getting it for free.
I want it for free. Okay, good.
Come on, man. God forbid you're reaching your pocket.
What is there anything else that you want to promote besides your Bloody Mary mix?
No. Oh, well, if you guys want, check out my 2 days ago, I hit over 2 million views, man.
Congratulations.
On my hour special. So if you guys want to watch it, I already released it for free during the quarantine, but yeah. Go to Brett, B-R-E-T, Brett with one T, comedy.com, and you can watch it there for free.
Awesome. Good quarantine watching. It's a fantastic special. Brett, thank you so much. I love you, bro.
I love you too, brother.
This episode of Green Eggs and Dan was produced by Andrew Steven. Executive produced by Jeff Umbro and The Podglomerate. You can find more of their podcasts at thepodglomerate.com. The theme music is Beautiful Food by Idan, and interstitial music is by Breakmaster Cylinder. If you like this show, please tell a friend, share an episode, and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Podglomerate, a Sonic Universe.